But I want to tell you how thankful I am for the response that you've given. I mean, it is encouraging to know that you're trying to study the Bible. And so here are eight questions that I hope everybody in here knows. What's the greatest book in the world? How many of the main parts of the Bible? There are two of them, and they are Old Testament and New Testament. Number of books in the Bible? 66. Number of books in the Old Testament? 39. Number of books in the New Testament? 27. How many men wrote the Bible? About 40. How many years involved in writing the Bible? And the theme of the Bible? Jesus Christ. Folks, if you know those answers, you can have a dog tag. And that means nothing. Doesn't mean you're better than anybody on this earth. But I want to encourage you to get in the habit of trying to learn these things. Now, somebody says, well, you know, it may take me longer than somebody else. It will be all right in August. If it takes you all the way to August to learn enough to get the first one, then it's all right in August. If it takes you that long, it's all right in August. I'm not trying to point anybody out. But if it takes you to even September, you know, to learn all of that, it's an ongoing thing. And the whole design of that is we know that there'll be people becoming a part of this church, babes in Christ. We know there'll be people that are moving in. And so we want to have this as an ongoing thing. And if you've got the overview card and you've got the prophet and you learn the priest questions, then go ahead and fill those out. I hope you see we're not going to embarrass adults, okay? We're really not going to embarrass adults. We are making one modification, and that is for our teens. And that is we want to modify the teens about coming to the elders and add to that they can come to David also, since he's working with our young people. So, and with the fact that Casey's going to be coming down here, we want to have that interface and everything. And so we're just going to make that modification so that any of the teens, instead of coming to the elders, they can come to David also, just to go through the Bible quizzes and everything. You got all those answers? You want to go up to the priest level? The languages the Bible is written in, Hebrew and Greek. Major divisions of the Old Testament are books of Moses, history, poetry, major prophets, minor prophets. Do that again, okay? Books of Moses, history, poetry, major prophets, minor prophets. How many books are there in each division? Pat Brown, you've got the greatest way on earth of telling me how many books there are in, and that number is? 512? 5512. All right, so if you want to know how many books are in that group, I just love Pat. She told me about this last week. I just learned 512, 5512. It's like somebody's telephone number, I guess. And unless you turn that in so they won't call you in this telephone solicitation, it's a good number to use. 512, 5512. Five books of Moses, 12 books of prophecy, five books of poetry, five books of major prophets, 12 books of minor prophets. That's good. Three-sentence summary of the Bible. Someone is coming, someone is here, someone is coming again. Here's one we haven't talked about, and that's the three dispensations of Bible history. Three periods of Bible history, beginning with what? Patriarchal, Mosaic, and then the Christian age. Number of prophecies in the Bible about Jesus? 332. When the Old Testament ended and the New Testament began? When Jesus died on the cross. Folks, if you know that, then fill out one of the cards, fill out one of the written tests and everything, because you cannot imagine how encouraged David and I have been in the response that's come from this group. You also cannot imagine how some of you have discouraged us, some of you that we were counting on you to be a part of this. So please, if we're going to keep this up, if you want us to have the energies and the encouragement to keep going down this road, we need the encouragement. But you need to have that as a discipline in your life if you can, because that'll force you to make sure that you know these things. All right, let's get to the prophet's card on Genesis and Exodus so that we're there. We were talking about the three different dispensations. They are what? Patriarchal, Mosaic, and Christian. Now, how long did the patriarchal age last? That's in parentheses on that card, and so you don't have to know it. But from the creation up until the time of Moses, you've got the patriarchs, and that's 2,500 years. And that's a pretty interesting figure. Then from Moses until the time of Jesus dying on the cross is about how many years? Not 2,500, but what? 1,500 years, and the time in round numbers since Jesus died on the cross is how many years?
2,000.
Now, here's your question for great Bible students. We try to give one that will encourage you to get inside the book and study the book. There are 14 men in the Bible who are called patriarchs. I want you to, if you want something to study this week over and above and be challenged, find the names of the 14 men of the Bible who are called patriarchs. What's the word patriarch mean?
Father.
Pater is father, I guess, in Spanish. What's the Spanish word for father? Padre?
Padre.
You see the word? Padre, pater, patri, patri. You, all from that same root, same language of words. And so, and the last part, the arch part, means what? If pater, padre means father, what's the last part mean? Arch. What about a monarch? What about a theocracy, a democracy? What's that arch mean?
Ruling.
And so that first age of Bible history, we have assigned, and by we I just mean mankind, has assigned the word patriarch to describe that age. And so in those 15 periods of Bible history that's on that king card over there, on the third of those white cards, one of the ages is the age of the patriarchs. You've got the creation, you've got the flood, you've got the patriarchs. And so what we're trying to do is a word, that's why we use the word patriarchal to refer to that, when the fathers ruled. There was no formal religion. God dealt with the fathers. And so the whole religion was designed to be a family kind of religion. Then you get the Mosaic Age. The Mosaic Age is the time whenever God selects a nation. First family, second nation, and the Christian age is individual. So those are three kinds of things. Talk about the creation. Can somebody enlighten me about what God made on the first day? He made light. What? Give me a firm answer about what He made on the second day.
Firmament.
What did He make on the third day?
Sea,
land, vegetation. On the fourth day, sun, moon, and stars. And the fifth day He made fish and birds. And the King James has the word fowls. And so the way I remembered it, it was two F's in fifth. And so fish and birds were made on the fifth day. On the sixth day, He created what?
Animals
and man. And the seventh day, God rested. Got all of that? Got that filed away? Those are the questions that's on the prophet card in relationship to this. The name of that first man was what?
Adam.
The name of the first woman?
Eve.
Adam was made from?
Dust.
Eve was made from?
Adam's rib.
We asked the question last week, does man have one less rib than a woman? Or was that 2 weeks ago we asked that? And several were amazed that was the situation. Well, the truth of the matter is Adam had one more rib than any man had. And so I made that up. Adam had one more rib than any man had, so he just took the spare ribs that he had and made a woman out of it. And so we and Adam have this. You don't think that's right?
No.
All right. He made Eve out of tongue. No, he didn't do that either. Okay, I'm in bad trouble now. All right. He made Adam out of what?
Dust.
Where is the location in the Bible? Location. In the Bible that said God made man of the dust of the ground. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. God created man of the dust of the ground. That and that. God breathed into man the breath of life. Where's that found? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. I'm sorry. On the blue card, one of the key questions. You need to know in the Bible where you can find that God created Adam of the dust of the ground. Where's that? That God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul. Where's that? Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Where in the Bible does the Bible affirm that God created man and woman? You got the location on that? Genesis chapter 1 and verse 27. And that's the location. Those are the things that's there. God put them in a garden. Name of the garden is?
Eden.
Garden of Eden. All right. How many trees were in the garden of which they were not allowed to eat?
One.
How many trees were in the midst of the garden?
Two.
The two trees in the midst of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Got that? File that away. I think it would be interesting to sometimes imagine Suppose you lost the Bible. Could you restore the Bible from your memory? Sometimes you got a devotion. Sometimes you're having a young adult devotion. You're having a teen devotion or something like that. Just pretend the Bible has been lost. Can you tell me the story of the Bible? I think it's an interesting kind of thing. If you're having trouble going to sleep tonight, then lie in there and try to put in sequence the things that are there in the Bible. What was the first sin? Where's the first sin found in the Bible? Is that on a card anywhere?
It's in one of the locations.
Genesis chapter 3 is where you read about the first sin. Now, as a result of the sin, God placed curses on everybody that was involved in that. He placed a curse upon the serpent, placed a curse upon the devil, placed a curse upon the woman, and a curse upon the man. What was the curse placed upon the man? You'll have to work. You'll have to work. So when you come home dead tired and you're really worn out, you can thank Mother Eve for that. And Father Adam, too, if you want to. But that's why I wonder what life in the Garden of Eden would have been like before sin came in. I just wonder how easy it would be. They were given the responsibility of dressing the garden. I just wonder what was involved in that. Now, you know, the way I memorized it as a kid, and I was really shocked that it was not in the Bible, you'll earn your bread by the sweat of your brow. Did you learn that when you was a kid? That's the, you know, that God cursed the ground, and there would be weeds and thorns on this earth, which is a reminder of what sin is like. And we ought to, whenever we're really, really tired, we ought to use that as a spiritual time to be reminded about sin. What was the curse on woman? The increasing your conception and the birth of the child and the sorrows in your life, I will greatly increase that. And, you know, the Bible says that the woman, after she's given birth, forgets about the pain of childbirth. Otherwise, I think there'd only be single children in families on this earth. You ought to think about that. There would have been evidently some pain in relationship to Mother Eve had sin not been involved in that. Greatly increase or multiply. You got to have something to start with to multiply with. But the great pain in childbearing, it's God's way of reminding us of how terrible sin is. What's the attitude of fools towards sin? You know that proverb? Fools make a mock of sin. You see, here's sin in the world, and this earth is cursed, and the world is entertained by sin, and people mock those who are trying to live right and talk about righteousness. Fools make a mock of sin. But built into our life is this situation. There's these constant reminders in relationship to what sin is. So we need to be so very, very much aware of that. What was the curse upon the snake? You'll eat the dust of the ground and you'll slither along the ground. I think it's tragic that every Bible story book I have ever seen, where's the snake? He's up in the tree. He's slimed up into the tree some way, and there he is up in the tree. And there Mother Eve is, and every Bible story I've ever seen has him up there. That's not the way he was. The part of the curse that was upon him was that he would now go upon his belly. And we need to understand that. That snake could talk. Is there any other animal in the Bible that talked? That donkey that talked to Balaam. We'll be getting to that some distance down the road. But animals do talk, do they not? And so here's another animal that talked. And so the snake had that ability. Now then, the curse was upon Satan. When the Lord says to Eve that I will put enmity between you and the woman. He's talking to the serpent. Enmity is what? Hatred. How do you feel about snakes? You know, you love them. You're not a woman. Okay? I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed. And so there is that obvious, shallow fulfillment of that, of the attitude that individuals have towards snakes. You ever kill a snake? Huh? Never killed a snake. Aren't you glad you're married to Joe? You never kill a snake. You love snakes. I remember I've got a photo of Bonnie with a snake draped around her head, okay? Mike Erickson does the same thing, right, Mike?
They're weird.
Well, you know more about Bonnie, but I could attest for Mike, okay? And so, but there is that natural enmity that there is, that is there. But this thing's far deeper than that. I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise whose head? Now, wait a minute. Here is the seed of woman that is going to bruise who? Why not the seed of the serpent? You see, I mean, here's Cain and Abel, and there's no prophecy at all about Jesus. And so the Lord said, I'll put an enmity between you and the woman, and her seed and the descendants of Adam and Eve will always hate the descendants of this snake. That's not what it says. The seed of woman will bruise the head of the serpent, first generation. Now, how do we know that the devil is in the Garden of Eden? You read all of Genesis and you will not find it. You've got to get to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12, that's probably about, what, verse 8 or 9, where the Bible talks about that serpent, that serpent of old called the devil, was cast out. So that's the way you know that the serpent was in there. Another way you could prove this is at Romans chapter 16, I think it's verse 20, that says, the Lord shall shortly bruise Satan under your feet. And so that's another way you can see that the devil is back over there in the book of Genesis. And so everybody that's involved in the book of Genesis is cursed in one way or another. And the greatest curse is death. We ought never to attend the funeral. But what we are reminded in a funeral of how tragic and how terrible sin is. Anybody in the eighth grade over here? When I was in the eighth grade, I was in a small school, Christian school. There were 28 members in the eighth grade class. By the time we graduated, 4.5 years later, two of those guys had died. It's hard to think about. When you're, 14 years of age, it's hard to think about death. And yet, in that part of my life, I had a very solemn reminder of it. Because, known those kids in that class, small school, you're always in the same grade with them throughout all the years and everything. And before you graduate, two of those people who were in school with in the eighth grade have died. What do you do at a funeral? Well, we ought at a funeral to understand how terrible sin is, and that's God's way of reminding us of how terrible sin is. So they're cast out of the garden. Adam and Eve have children, do they not? They have children. The name of the first son is?
Cain.
The name of the second son is?
Abel.
All right, who killed whom? Did Abel kill Cain or Cain kill Abel? Huh? Cain killed his brother because he was Abel. That's the way I remember it. You can remember it any way you want to. But Cain killed his brother because he was Abel. Now, what's the problem that's there? Well, the problem has to do with jealousy because Abel had received the approval of God for the worship that was given. Folks, we've got to understand that we're not trying to learn Bible facts. We're trying to learn about life. And the very first time anybody in the Bible ever worshiped God, half the people on earth worship God the wrong way. Or half of the worshipers on earth worship God the wrong way. That's an astounding thing. And so we ought not to ever buy into this attitude that says, well, you can worship God any way you want to. Can't do it. Why? Cain and Abel, God accepted the worship of one of those young men and did not accept the worship of the other young man. So Cain killed his brother. The blood of Abel is spoken of in the book of Genesis as doing what? It's crying out from the earth for justice. The blood of your brother cries out from the earth. Where's your brother? And Cain said his answer to that when the Lord says, where's your brother? What'd Cain say? Am I what? Am I my brother's keeper? Now this, by the way, is the 200th anniversary this week of the birth of Charles Darwin. Now, we understand that we are our brother's keeper. Darwin wants us to believe that those two monkeys that are in the cage, that they are their keeper's brother. And they're wrong about it. Shall I say that one more time? Two monkeys in a cage. One of them said, am I my keeper's brother? I've been reading Darwin's theory of evolution. By the way, interestingly enough, this week is the 200th anniversary of the birth of Charles Darwin. And in the USA Today newspaper, I guess it's the most widely circulated newspaper on earth, Brad Harrab and those individuals associated with him, Brad's spoken here at least on two occasions, maybe more than that. They're going to have an ad in the USA Today newspaper this week on the anniversary of Darwin's birth. And so we'll be looking out for that. I'm not sure if his birthday is Tuesday or Thursday. It's one or the other. If it's not, it's Monday, Wednesday, or Friday, or maybe Saturday. But one day this week, whenever there is the time of his, you might want to look at that and see what he has written in there, because it might be a great topic of conversation. You're at work somebody said, hey, or you can bring even the topic up. Hey, there's an interesting ad. Ever think about what's in this ad here? Wonder who this Brad Harrab guy is. And, you don't have to tell him that he's a brother in Christ and that you know him I think it's interesting that is there. I am my brother's keeper. And that's really a part of what we're trying to do in this church, and that is make us conscious of each other. And in fact, one of the reasons that we're reviving a program that was similar to what we had back on 36th Street, and whenever we talk about these group meetings, these cornerstone group meetings in a few minutes, is so we can take care of each other. It's so easy as we get larger for people to slip through the crack. It's so easy for somebody to stop coming, and we're not really aware of that. And so we're trying to divide up into smaller groups so that we can care for each other. They're care groups is all they are, and it's a way of us to get to know each other better. And in a few minutes we'll be making that division up into all of these areas. Does the Bible specifically mention Adam and Eve having any other children? Cain, Abel, and who was the third son? Seth. Does it ever mention them having daughters? Does the Bible mention that? Yes. Genesis chapter 5 says they had daughters. Now, everybody wants to know where Cain got his wife, right? I think that's amazing. The most here are people that, that have no interest at all in the Bible about anything, but they want to know where Cain got his wife. Well, the word Eve means what? Means living, and she was given the name Eve because she was the mother of all the living. And so if Cain married somebody who was alive, I know where she came from. And talking about not marrying your sisters and all of that has a whole lot more to do with genetics than anything else, and the deformity of children that's there. And the threat of that. But just, Joe and Marion, suppose you were brother and sisters. And suppose that when you're 1 year of age, you were adopted into two different families. And you went your separate ways. And then whenever you were in high school, you came back and met each other, not knowing that you were brothers and sisters. You would have exactly the same love for Marion that you have right now. It wouldn't be abnormal at all. I mean, it would just, and so Adam and Eve had perfect genetics, if that makes sense. And so the problem about there being deformed children from that kind of marriage. And it's later, when the Mosaical age comes along, that you have that prohibition about marrying who's really, I don't know what kind of sisters you had. But I can't imagine any of my sisters ever wanting to marry me. You understand what I mean? It's because we grow up with brothers and sisters. There's a third aspect of that, and we can talk about the laws of the land. We can talk about incest and that aspect. But the third aspect of it is you wouldn't marry your brother or sister. You know them too well. You're glad when they get out of the house and whatever is involved in relationship to that. So we've got that first worship, Cain and Abel. The first murderer, what's his name? Cain killed his brother, and that is the first murder that there is mentioned in the Bible. Though, and here's another question to look up while you're finding out the number of patriarchs, if you want to just, in addition to have just some Bible studies, is to find who murdered in the Bible before Cain murdered in the Bible. Now the question says, the first murderer in the Bible is Cain. But there's somebody in the Bible that murdered before Cain. And the reason we throw this out is not to try to discourage individuals. I mean, Joe, you didn't grow up in the church. Bonnie, you've got a history of being in the church. We want Joe and Bonnie both to have something they can get here. And so, Joe, you don't have to spend a lot of time figuring out you want. You're trying to learn how many books there are in the Bible, right? And that's the whole design of this. But we want to have things in here that will challenge you. I think it'd be challenging to try to find the 14 men in the Bible that are named patriarchs. I think that'd be an interesting kind of thing to do. Does anybody think they know who are the 14 men of the Bible that are called patriarchs? You think you know. Don't say it out loud. I want everybody to do their homework. Check with me afterwards and we'll see, okay? But that's sort of the design of that. But there is a murderer mentioned in the Bible by name before Cain. That's your test if you want to do some interesting kind of Bible study, all right? Now then, you go from the flood, you go from the creation, and we include all of those individuals that are there. You go from Adam down to the second division of the Old Testament in our 15-word outline, and that's the flood. Now, we already know lots and lots about the flood. I want to ask you this. How many generations are there from Adam until Noah? Not quite. There are 10 generations, assuming you count Adam and you count Noah. There are 10 generations from Adam to Noah. About how long do those individuals live during that period of time? Roughly 900 years. And so we've got all of these individuals, and they live roughly 900 years. Inside that number is the oldest man in the Bible. What's his name? The man Methuselah. Now, how long did Methuselah... Now, before you answer, it's the same backwards as it is frontwards. So if you're dyslexic, this is your night. Okay? So how long did Methuselah live? 969, or 969, okay? And that's how long he lived. Here's an interesting question. If the patriarchal age lasted about 2,500 years, how long is the period of time from Noah until the flood? How long is it from Noah, and how long is it from Adam until the flood? That's a different question. You answered it rightly. I gave the wrong question. About how long is it from Adam till the time the flood comes? 1,656 years. So when I know anything at all about those first 10 generations, I know the first 1,600 years of Bible history. There are two characters that sit between Adam and Noah that are important. That's not to say that have greater importance than the others. One is obviously Methuselah, lived 969 years. The other one is a man who is mentioned in the New Testament. Enoch walked with God, the Bible tells, and he did not die. And so Enoch was only on this earth 365 years. So next week, here's where we start. We start with the flood and keep going.